Hello, I'm Dr. Lou Condor, technical communicator, writer, editor, as well as adjunct lecturer at California State University, Dominguez Hills. Welcome to the podcast for the Advanced Technical Communication class, where we discuss key aspects of technical writing and communication. This week, we're going to talk about preventing scope creep on documentation projects. This is probably one of the most important things you can do besides knowing grammar and all the mechanics of technical writing, is you want to control the parameters of the project and understand them so that if they move on, you don't spend a lot of time and money, your own time many times, rewriting something that was unnecessary. And that's why we focus so far on a lot of it. I pushed a lot about scope and understanding the specifications and the criteria for a project. That is very, very important. Otherwise, you'll have a very difficult time being a successful technical writer. So what does scope creep mean to my project? The definition of scope is, according to the Project Management Body of Knowledge, which are the big project management group that issues certifications that everyone uses, scope of the project equals the work to be done. Scope should be controlled as a project, and product specifications are progressively elaborated on. Progressive elaboration means developing in steps and continuing by increment. This is really like one of the heart of the things that you really have to understand about scope, is it can change, and it can legitimately change, but you need to track those changes, because in the end, someone will come back to you and say, why did it go over budget? Why did it go over time? And you could say, validated that this would happen at this point, and someone accepted that risk. And you know that manager is responsible. Therefore, you might want to talk to them because they okayed it. You are showing them, this is what we did, and then move forward. And usually no one argues it. They'll go, oh, okay, that's fine. So that way, you know, they know who to talk to and they will discuss why the project changed. And you don't want to add extra things without knowledge of other people. So according to the PMBOK, scope creep is defined as adding features and functionality to the project scope without addressing the effects on time, costs, and resources, or without the customer approval. So if you had no approval and you just start expanding it and spending money, and in company's eyes, you are a resource and you are money. So you could be doing other work than this one project. So you have to maintain scope because they're going to want to know why things changed. This phenomenon can occur when the scope of a project is not properly defined, documented, or controlled. Scope creep is mainly considered a negative occurrence and it should be avoided. That's what change management is. If a project changes like your document, they'll go through a series of change management procedures. Most companies do have these. And that means they're verifying and okaying that the project scope has changed. Something within the scope has changed because whether it's building a new device or something like that, they might not get the right certs or extend it out to wait for the certs. That changed the project, that changed the scope of your project, and so there's change management implemented. This is very important in business, and you really should understand the concepts because most companies have it. Why does scope of a project matter? The project can be put at risk. Scope creep can lead to project failure. If you have to deliver something like a manual to a customer by a certain date and you don't make that date, your project failed. And there will be repercussions of any kind. It could be monetary. It could be financial. It could be just the fact that you may get fired. There could be a lot of reasons. So that's why I emphasize that you must track, because suddenly you are in the focus. If a project has like a product, like a new device for the process industry, like at an old company I used to work at, if that product is delayed, they have a lot of money on the launch. So then it's delayed because you need a manual to go with the product, especially in an environment that is considered extremely dangerous, and it needs to make sure that each part of that manual is tracked. I would write 400 or 500 page manuals. So you could see if scope creep went into that and changed a lot, there'd be a major problem because it could be weeks, months, years put out. If the client okays it through a change management, then that's fine. But you can't do that yourself. It really needs to be followed in a process. So most companies will avoid it because they don't want to have that happen. What can keep my documentation projects from getting scope creep and keeping them on budget on time? Well, let's talk a little bit about the basics of project management. It's something you should know, at least just an overview. Project management for documentation. Now, is there a dedicated project manager? If not, don't worry. It depends. Manufacturing, a lot of times, will have a project manager or a product manager who will be your best friend. No need to be a guru in project management. I mean, we've already been learning about it, about, you know, understanding specifications and scope. So you've already got a handle on this. You just need a few tools and concepts to continue on in this manner. Many project management techniques are not complex. They're common sense and being prepared and organized. You must learn to be organized. You will never write just one document unless that document's huge. Normally, when you do documentation, you are working on multiple different documents at the same time. So project management helps you track where you're at with the project, because someone will come up to you and go, on that project, you know, when was the last time you worked on it and how much? And, you know, and they just start shooting off all this information. If you have a little spreadsheet or something like that, life is good. You can just answer their questions without having any issues. Another tool that you have is asking the right questions to the right stakeholders in the project. Remember we had that discussion of SMEs, you know, where you had to want, you really wanted to ask them the right questions for the time you had. That applies here as well. You could think of people that you're asking questions of, such as who's running it, who's in charge, you know, what engineering, what are the dates engineering is going to give me this information. All of that has to come from the right person, and they have to be the right questions. According to Fries and Sauter, lack of planning, incomplete requirements, and scope poorly defined will help add to project failure. So will lack of communication between stakeholders, failure to reach milestones, schedule problems, unrealistic expectations in the project. Milestones are the key points where you know you're at like the first 25%, the midway point, the last 25%. Those are like milestones when you've hit key points. They may differ though. For example, when you have certifications, you have the first milestone is to get a basic document that is not complete. It's a very rough draft, but it goes out with all the specs to the certification agency, you know, so that's the first phase of certification. That is a milestone because the project, meaning the engineering project and your project, cannot move on until that happens. So that's a milestone. Unrealistic expectations, someone thinking you'll write a 500-page manual in 1 week. If you work 24 hours a day, you couldn't do it because there's research involved. And so that's an unrealistic expectation. And you could have schedule problems, which you just have to work around. And that's why I said you have to pay attention to your scope. Because paying attention to the scope lets you, when you get those schedule problems, lets you adjust, lets you figure it out. So understanding it is really helpful. Resource management. You might have lack of resources and poor resource scheduling. So you need to really stay on top of that. This is especially important when you're on really small companies. They seem to have more logistic problems merely because they have less people. Change management and quality control issues. Knowing when changes are too much for scope. Someone may add one extra item to a device. Oh, we added this one more secret selection that you can have or whatever. Fine. You know, you have to judge and look at it and ask the right questions again, but it might be 5-10 minutes worth of work. Well, that's not really going to throw your scope off and give you like scope creep. But if it's like, oh, we're adding a whole new section to this device and it's going to do like 150 new things, well, that's going to alter scope. So then you have to have that conversation about, you know, how much longer it's going to take to do the document. And you can do approximations, but what I found is if you do a Excel spreadsheet and make sure you understand your schedule, and that's why I've been having you do schedules. If you understand the schedule, you can show someone the schedule and say, I need these things by this point. If they can't provide them, then you immediately need to point out what is going on, and that you're behind schedule because of another department could not produce something that you needed. And that could be totally fine with all the stakeholders because they know they're behind, but you want to make sure that they understand that you're behind and you can't catch up until, or you can never catch up, but you can't start working on other aspects of the project until you have this particular deliverable from whomever, engineering, from marketing, from whoever you need it from. Define the scope of your documentation project. Again, I can't reiterate this enough. Once you know what you will need to deliver, when you need to deliver it, you can determine how to deliver it. So a lot of material now is online, but there's also printed. In the United States, the manual can be online. People download the manual and all this. But in Europe, according to EU rules, manual must be shipped with the product. So that's why when you looked at what I got, what I posted, which was the different sheets, the manual and the accompanying sheet, the accompanying sheet looks a little bit like a manual because it accompanied the product to Europe. It carried the bare minimum for the product so that it could get through European standards. European customers could still download the full manual, but by European law, they needed to have a paper manual accompanying the product. But that stuff like that happens. So when you start knowing nuances, that's how you know what your deliverable is. You have to focus on it. So why does the scope of a project matter again? Well, critical success in every documentation project depends on monitoring and controlling the defined scope of a project. This is especially true for large-scale documentation. I would consider a 500-page manual large-scale, and at times I was working on three or four of them. So in my head, and I was a lone writer, so I get a little mixed up at times. Having that breakdown of each project in an Excel spreadsheet saved my neck. I mean, I could go in and look at it and determine where we were at any given point and who I was waiting for and why. The other thing that's good is I used to share it on the drive with my managers, and I used to answer to the CEO as well. And any one of them could go in and look at my sheet. And they did often, because when I go to open the sheet, it would say it's checked out by so-and-so. That means I don't have to have another meeting that wastes a ton of time. I don't have to have a lot of things. If people had a question, they just give me a phone call and ask a direct question. I saw in your schedule it, this is going on, what's happening? And I can give them a briefing, a super quick briefing of what's going on. You don't know the scope of a full project, like what's going on in engineering or anything. So what's the great thing is somebody else can step in and say, okay, and then they get back to you and they say, okay, we're pushing it out another 4 weeks, and you adjust your schedule. So in a weird way, that's a little bit of a scope creep, but what it's doing is it's just readjusting your schedule because everyone's okay with it. Preventing scope creep on a documentation project, or preventing your projects from going over budget and over time without controls, helps you achieve your goals of completing the project as agreed. You will wind up spending a lot of time sitting there by yourself doing the work when everybody's out having fun. So you really want to get that work done. It's critical to delivering the quality of documentation that you want. If you deliver poor quality, it reflects on you badly and your employers and your clients. You want to do it on any scale of documentation because it provides a clearly defined baseline plan of project objectives, schedule targets, budget estimates at the start of the project, defining the overall scope of the documentation. One of the mistakes I see in students, especially those who haven't spent a lot of years in big business, is that they think, well, I'm free. I'm a resource here that at a company and they already pay me. You got to think from the company's point of view, because they're like, well, you're there and we'll make you salary and you could just stay here 20 hours a day. So what you're doing is you are physically preventing that by saying, here's what the scope is, here's where our timeline is. You know, if you need something more, you tell them right at the head, this isn't possible. We need to bring in another person, or we need to farm out some of this material. So it's something to consider, unless you like to work 20 hours a day. And now, here's the big lesson. Don't have a runaway project. It will never end well. It'll be a massive train wreck, and there's nothing you can do about it. And about the halfway point is where it will start derailing, sometimes sooner, but then you can't force it back on the track with the last minute change. It just becomes a nightmare. So something to keep in mind. Technical scope creep can show up when the project team wants to please the customer. And that's usually when it happens. And it's not able to reject the customer's request for a change in the requirements during the project execution. And pretty much the company doesn't want to do it, but they're going to have to eat the costs. It's one of the major problems. Gold plating is another reason for scope creep. Gold plating is a term used when they want to make it shinier than it is, the project. So they start saying, oh, it won't be a problem to add this. And you have got multiple people doing that. Pretty soon you've got a lot of new stuff. So you've got too many new additional features and functionalities that were not a part of the original requirements. And they're there without approval. And someone has to be alerted to that. Again, if you get your manager to sign off on it, then it's really not scope creep. They're going to add resources, you know, whether it's you or other people or something to your project, or push out the date. So that happens. So it's just something to be prepared of. The business scope creep occurs also due to external forces that might not be in your control of a project manager or a company or other sources. And that could be something as simple as we didn't get the certs back for 6 months. That's happened before. And so they will actually shelve the project for a while. And then you have other projects in line as you start working on them. And you might have to jump back. So if you've already done the specifications and the outline of the manual, you might forget 6 months from now. So it's always great to have that Excel spreadsheet so you can go back and remember what's the next step for you. You'll look like a hero and it will be very helpful. Clearly define the scope, the schedule, and the resource needs again. Plan out the project, outline the tasks, the requirements, the deliverables, and define steps to project completion. Remember proposal, I had you do the tentative schedule and the tentative cost, and then I insisted on you doing the actual, technically what would be the actual cost and the actual schedule. This is where it comes in. If you have a big project that costs $100,000, you will be pulled into a manager's office. If it doesn't match or there's no tracking, they will pull you into an office and ask you why. Unfortunately, you may have to track it and you may not. But you're going to track your part of the world. You're not going to track the whole project, like say developing a new device, but you're going to track your part of the world so that you know exactly what's going on. Least of all, it might be just the schedule, but you'll still be asked sometimes to bring that back up. People don't really realize the value of doing a little bit of management and defining your scope to make your life a lot easier. I've been able to do a lot of different documents simultaneously by doing this. That's it, and thanks. Music by Purple Planet Music at music://https://www.purple-planet.com.